Good morning and welcome to our worship today. This is the third Sunday now of the Lenten season. We begin our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For the confession of our sins and the forgiveness, we will use words that are based on the giving of the Ten Commandments as recorded for us in Exodus chapter 20. For having other gods before you, for indifference to your might and power, for thinking that security lies in me rather than in you, let me remember and turn to you and trust in you, O Lord. For using your name without respect, for cursing and swearing without thinking, for the lack of prayer and praise in my life, Lord, do not let me ever forget your name is holy. For ignoring the meaning of the Sabbath, for forsaking the assembly of the believers, for honoring you with my lips and not with my life, Lord, forgive me for saying one thing and doing another. For not honoring those who are over me, for my lack of concern for my parents, for evading my responsibility as a citizen, Lord, help me to see through rationalizations and excuses and to give honor to whom honor is due. For the ways that I cheapen human life, mistreat my own body, for the desire to get even when I have been wronged, for nourishing hatred and allowing it to grow, let me never hurt someone intentionally or cause them physical harm, O Lord. For making light of the marriage bond, for nourishing impure and lustful thoughts, Lord, help me to control myself and give me the desire to want to be pure. For my lack of concern for my neighbor's needs, for the poor use I make of my time and abilities, my possessions, for stealing and calling it something else, Lord, let me treat others as I want to be treated. For careless words that can damage someone else's reputation, for making fun of others, for talking unkindly about other people, let me learn to speak the truth in love. For trying to get what someone else has, for thinking that happiness lies in material things, for jealousy which eats away at contentment, teach me, Lord, what the most important things in life are. My dear friends, if we confess our sins, God is faithful. He is just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, purifies us from every sin. We praise the Lord. Amen. And let us collect our thoughts in prayer. Almighty God, look with favor on your humble servants. Stretch out the right hand of your power to defend us against all our enemies. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We turn to our lessons for today. Our first lesson comes from the Epistle, Paul's letter to the congregation at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We begin reading at verse 22. Paul writes, Jews demand miraculous signs, Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. This is God's word. And our gospel lesson is from John chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verse 13. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So Jesus made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, Jesus said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my Father's house into a market?" Jesus' disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume you." Then the Jews demanded of him, "What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." The Jews replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" but the temple Jesus had spoken of was his body. After Jesus was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scriptures and the words that Jesus had spoken. This is the gospel of our Lord. With that, then, we turn to our third lesson for today, which is our sermon text from the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 20. We'll read the selected verses from verse 1 through 17. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. Honor your father and your mother, so that it may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, as Moses was leading the people of Israel, he was not feeling well. He was quite upset. He decided that he would climb up Mount Sinai to have a little talk with God. You know, God, Moses started, my life has not been easy. First, my mom put me in a basket and floated me down a river. Then I left Egypt for 40 years. You remember the burning bush. Then there were the plagues, the Passover, the Exodus. The parting of the Red Sea was really cool. But now all the people you want me to lead are grumbling and complaining. I just don't know if I can handle it anymore. And to top it all off, I have a splitting headache. God looked at Moses and said, here, take these two tablets. That should help. Just in case you didn't get it, the two tablets were stone tablets. And on those two stone tablets were God's Ten Commandments. Here's an important question. What's the key word that was etched in stone in those Ten Commandments? I'll give you two hints. It's not do, and it's not don't. The key word is love. Love is the key word to the commandments. They start with love, they end with love, and everything in between is love. Obedience begins and ends with love. Look at how God begins in the first two verses. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. That's pure gospel. That's amazing grace. God is pointing Israel to where they had been and to where they were going. They had been slaves in Egypt. They're now going to the promised land, all because of the gracious hand of God. I am the Lord your God. Teaches us why God gave us the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are not some moral straitjacket to constrict us. They're not a God pointing a gun at our head and trying to scare us. No. The Ten Commandments are 10 paths to living a life of peace and love and happiness and joy. when each one of us looks back on where we have been, and then we look ahead to where we're going, all we can do is marvel at God's grace. Have you ever found yourself maybe hearing somebody else, maybe a bunch of kids, whatever it might be, and it just caused you to cringe because of what they were saying and doing, and you said, hey, knock it off. Clean up your act. Well, it's so easy for us to see that in other people. It's not always easy to see it in our own lives. But that's exactly what God has done for us. He cleaned up our act. If I was able to show you a glass, or you can just picture a glass. If that glass has a chip in it, or maybe a crack, or it just got smashed in the floor, no matter what, it's still broken, isn't it? You can't break a glass in a little way. It's broken, no matter what happens to it. And that's also with our relationship with God. But we have that nasty habit at times of ranking sins. Sometimes we think some aren't as bad as others. But what did each and every one of our sins do? It shattered that relationship that we had with our Lord. You know, all of us have preached, but we don't always practice what we preach. There are words that we shouldn't say, movies we shouldn't watch, jokes we shouldn't laugh at, but we do. And we use our tongues to sing hymns and praise one day, but we can gossip about our friend the next day. The truth is, we shatter the glass. We all shatter it. We sin and break that relationship we had with our Lord. You hear the gospel lesson today? How Jesus took a whip and he cleansed the temple? Isn't it ironic that Jesus also had a whip that was used on him to cleanse us? When that whip tore into his back, when the nails were hammered into his hands and his feet, when the crown of thorns was thrust in his head and Jesus bled, he bled the holy, precious blood to cleanse us. Jesus makes us new. He doesn't just pick up the pieces. He makes us a new glass. Through his suffering and his death, he washes away all of our sins. He makes us perfect saints. We are cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and now we are kept clean by the love of Christ. Let's listen as we take a look at those two tablets containing the Ten Commandments. And my friends, let us keep in mind, life works better when we live God's way. First of all, let's look at the first three, our relationship with our Lord. He says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven or above or earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. And remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Let's focus on the third commandment, the importance of worship, family worship. George Hatch raised a large family, 7 boys, 5 girls, in the sand hills of Nebraska. One Sunday morning, the neighbor rushed over to help the Hatches get their freshly dried hay into the barn. The clouds were rolling up in the west, and it was very apparent that a storm was coming. Let's get your hay in the barn, the neighbor said, before the storm hits. Thank you for your kind offer, Mr. Hatch said. But this Sunday, I and the family, I'm going to church. But you'll lose your hay, pleaded the neighbor. Well, the Hatches went to church, and the storm did hit, and they lost all their hay. See, I told you, said the neighbor, I told you that you would lose your hay. But Mr. Hatch replied, I may have lost my hay, but I saved my family. It's doubtful the neighbor fully understood, but we do. The most incredible thing a father, a family can do is to worship together. For our mom and dad, whomever it might be, to gather the family around God's love. Because that love of God will never leave. No matter where you go, no matter what you go through, that love will always be there. It'll keep you close to the Lord. It'll keep you close to each other. Next, we take a look at the second tablet, Commandments 4 through 10, which center on a relationship with others. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet. Let's focus on Commandments 9 and 10. And here's a question. Next to the gift of faith, what is the greatest gift God can give to you? The answer I'm looking for is contentment. To be happy with who you are. To be happy with what you have. To be happy in what you do. We all know people who are not happy. They simply are not. And it's not because of what they do not have. From a human perspective, they have it all, but they're not happy because something is missing in their lives. An anchor. What does an anchor do? It keeps the boat from drifting. It keeps it where the boat is supposed to be. The anchor of our lives, of our families, of our church, is the love of God. When life is calm and peaceful, when life is rough and choppy, the love of God keeps us from drifting. It keeps us where we are supposed to be. Lent is a time for cleansing. The whip that Jesus used to cleanse the temple is a vivid reminder of the whip the soldiers used on him. Yet that ugly whip reinforces our Savior's beautiful love. We are cleansed by the blood of Christ, and we are kept clean by the love of Christ. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with the confession of faith, and I'll use Martin Luther's explanation to the second article. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. All this he did that I should be his own and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Just as Jesus has risen from death and lives and rules eternally. This is most certainly true. Amen. And let us join together in praying the prayer our Savior taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. My dear friends, may God grant that you live in harmony with one another and serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. God bless you. God bless your week.